कुंजा बिहारी। जय गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद्भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद्भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की, रामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की। वृंदावन धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की, गंगा मैया यमुना मैया की, वृंद देवी तुलसी महारानी की, कलयुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। हरे कृष्ण, गुड मॉर्निंग, वेलकम एवरीवन। टुडे वी आर स्टडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड ऋषभदेव्स अपीयरेंस श्लोका 6-8। So these shlokas are in prose form, so we'll not chant them. We'll have the word by word meaning. Parijana, by your servants. Anuraga, in great ecstasy. Virachita, executed. Shabala, with a faltering voice. Samshabda, with prayers. Salila, water. Sita, kisalaya, twigs bearing new leaves. Tulasika, tulsi leaves. Durva ankurahi, and with newly grown grass. अपि ऑल्सो संवृत्तया परफॉर्म, सपर्यया बाय वर्शिप, किला इंडीड, परमा ओ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, परितुष्यसी यू बिकम सैटिस्फाइड. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Supreme Lord, you are full in every respect. You are certainly very satisfied when your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices and in ecstasy bring you tulasi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves and newly grown grass. This surely makes you satisfied. Purport. One does not need great wealth, education or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is fully absorbed in love and ecstasy, he need offer only a flower or a little water. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita 9:26. The Supreme Lord can be pleased only by devotional service. Therefore, it is said here that the Lord is surely satisfied by devotion and nothing else. Quoting from the Gautamiya Tantra, the Hari Bhakti Vilas states, Tulasi Dala Matrena Jalasya Chulukena Va Vikrinite Swam Atmanam Bhaktebhyo Bhaktavatsalaha. Shri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulasi leaf and a palmful of water. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotee, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water and a flower in devotion and thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealings with his devotees. Shloka 7. The Brahmanas continue. We have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifices unto you. But we think that there is no need for so many arrangements to please your lordship. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one is offered a varied food but has no appetite, the offering has no value. In a big sacrificial ceremony, there may be many things accumulated to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if there is no devotion, attachment, or love for the Lord, the arrangement is useless. The Lord is complete in Himself, and He does not need anything from us. However, if we offer Him a little water, a flower, and a tulsi leaf, He will accept them. Bhakti, devotional service, is the main way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a question of arranging huge sacrifices. The priests were regretful, thinking that they were not on the path of devotional service and that their sacrifice was not pleasing to the Lord. Shloka 8. All of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us so that we may be benedicted by your lordships. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. Purport. Being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord does not need huge sacrifices. Fruitive activity for a more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interest. यज्ञर्थ कर्मणो अन्यत्र लोकोयम कर्म बंधन। जय श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन बिहारी भगवान की जय। श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की जय। इफ वी डू नॉट एक्ट टू सैटिस्फाई द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड वी एंगेज इन मायाज एक्टिविटीज। वी मे कंस्ट्रक्ट अ गॉर्जियस टेम्पल एंड स्पेंड थाउजेंड्स ऑफ डॉलर्स, बट सच अ टेम्पल इज नॉट रिक्वायर्ड बाय द लॉर्ड। द लॉर्ड हैज मेनी मिलियंस ऑफ टेम्पल्स फॉर हिज रेसिडेंस एंड ही डज नॉट नीड आर अटेम्प्ट। He does not require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are freed from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, He is pleased with us and gives us His benediction. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not for the Lord's sake, but for our own. If we somehow or other receive blessings and benedictions from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified and we can become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपादान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीजुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रिय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो वी वेलकम एवरीवन टू गोवर्धन इको विलेज एंड फॉर टुडेज डिस्कशन ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम। सो दिस इज अ सेक्शन वेयर वी आर सीइंग द अपीयरेंस ऑफ लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव। सो हियर King Nabi is performing yagya and is ultimately going to ask a benediction to receive a son who is as good as the Lord. But the Lord is going to tell him, I am a samurdhvam. Nobody can be equal to me or greater than me. So how can I fulfill your prayer? Because there is no one like me. So what I'll do, I'll expand myself and come as your son. So what leads to this amazing affection of the Lord to come as the son of Nabi? What attracted the Lord so much that he became ready to come as someone's son? So that is the subject matter of this verse today. So we have to understand the context first of all. So these priests are performing yagya on the instruction of King Nabi. Now, is this yagya a fire sacrifice? Is it karma kand? Because that's the connotation we get of yajna, mantra, tantra, puja. Is it karma kand in this case? What do you all feel? And why? How do we understand? You see a scene where a lot of priests are offering a great fire sacrifice with elaborate arrangements, with pure ingredients. And it is a royal sacrifice, so you can imagine. When the king is sponsoring, when king is the yajman, how will that fire sacrifice look like? So, is it karmakand? That's my question. What do you think and why? If it is not karmakand, why is it not? Absolutely. So we have to see the context that as, see, Vedic principle enumerated the king to represent God, Naradeva. So king was supposed to be a representative of God, and a king's duty was to support his citizens, nourish, protect, support, in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So it is a sacred responsibility of a Vedic king. So a king does not consider one's welfare, and not just the welfare of the citizens today, but also the welfare of the citizens for generations to come. So in this context, King Nabhi understood that it was his duty to God to have a son to perpetuate the kingdom. So King Nabhi is just ensuring that dharmic rule of law is maintained for generations to come. That is why out of that desire, he is requesting Lord for a son. It is not a sakam karma to desire for wealth, children. You see, in what context is he desiring for a son? So then it becomes seva. Nishkama karma yoga directed to the Lord becomes bhakti. So when it is of, when a prayer is in the mood of service to the Lord, it becomes pure devotional service, like Prabhu said. So then why does he have to do yajna? Because that was the yuga dharma in that time of chanting the mantras precisely in the right meter and performing an elaborate sacrifice. So it was the yuga dharma of that time, and therefore the King Nabhi was using that ritual as a form to express one's sincerity and devotion. So we hear this story of by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He narrates that when a child takes a flower from the garden which his parents have only cultivated and offers that flower back to the parent, the parent is so happy. So that ritual or that offering is just a medium. What the Lord actually wants is our devotion. That is the subject matter of this shloka today. So King Nabhi actually only wanted blessings of the Lord. He wanted Lord to bless him to have a son who could rule in a dharmic way and care for the citizens' spiritual welfare. So what we actually need out of performing the yuga dharma is blessings. Every endeavor that we do, we should only seek blessing. Not like verbally asking, but it should be in such a pleasing way that the person automatically feels pleased and offers their blessing to us. That should be the motto of our service. So we'll see the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quotes yagyartha karma anyat yagyarthat karmano. So we have to perform our work as yagya, in a spirit of sacrifice. That is what King Nabhi is doing. How do you get blessings? By performing sacrifice. The whole world is directed towards performing sakama karma, which means act for reward. What's in it for me?
Unless there is something I can gain, there is no reason I should perform it. But there is a reason. You can get purification, you can get blessings of the Lord if you perform bhakti or nishkama karma yoga. So Lord says in the third chapter that unless you offer work as sacrifice, you will become bound. So we'll start from this understanding and see that how does it become bhakti. Also in the ninth chapter, Lord says, Yad karoshi yad ashnashi, yad juhoshi dadashi yad, yad tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurusva madarpanam. So, King Nabi is performing sacrifice. Sacrifice is basically something where we do something beyond our self-interest. I need to be selfless. I need to overlook my self-interest for achieving something. That is sacrifice. Sacrifice our needs, our enjoyment, our opportunity cost. We could have done something different instead of doing the sacrifice. So that is where it takes the form of sacrifice, yajna. Yajna, as we symbolically know, is a fire sacrifice. But what is the meaning behind yajna? The Vedas call yajna as nabhi. Yajnasya ish, vishvasya nabhi. Yajna is the nucleus of the whole universe. Like a cell, a human cell. What powers the cell? The nucleus within the cell. If you remember biology that we studied. So yajna is that nucleus which powers this universe. What does it mean? Lord says, Annat bhavanti bhutani. Parjanyo anna sambhava. So everyone of us has to perform our duty, even if it is not leading direct benefit to us. The rivers let their water evaporate to the clouds. What are the rivers getting in return? Nothing. The clouds shower the rain on the fields and gardens. What are the clouds getting? Nothing. And the flowers and fruits, when they grow, they are letting humans use those flowers and fruits. What are the trees getting? Nothing. But unless everyone performs their respective duty, the universe will not function in a cyclical way. So that is yajna. We have to perform our duty. We are very much obsessed and protesting for our rights, freedom. But where does it come from? Sanat Kumar Prabhu, in so many of his classes, he says, we should remember that every right that we are getting comes from somebody else's sacrifice. Because freedom fighters have sacrificed their lives, we are getting the freedom of expression, liberty of movement and everything else. So no right or freedom is free. It has come at a cost to someone else. And if we don't continue to perform that chain of duty, then we will be ungrateful, insensitive and selfish. That is Bhagavad Gita's teaching. Don't be selfish. Be dutiful. You are part of an interconnected system where everyone is performing their duty. Don't look for selfish gratification and aggrandizement immediately. Do your duty. In that way, you can live in a harmonious setting with nature and with yourself. So that is the real meaning of yajna. When we chant, sitting in yajna, we chant idam krishnaya, idam na mama. This does not belong to me. This belongs to Krishna and I am giving it back to Krishna. No big deal. I am not bringing anything to the table. Like when we offer water of the Ganges back to the Ganges, does Ganges not have enough water? Ganges is full of water. But why do we take a little bit of water of Ganga in our palms and put it back? That is the devotion that which we are offering through that palm full of water. So similarly, Krishna doesn't need anything. Krishna is aptakam. Krishna is, he can fulfill his desires within himself. He is atmaram. We are not atmaram. We depend on others to fulfill our needs, desires, wants. We have a vacuum which we want to fulfill. So the difference is, when we direct our service towards Krishna, he does not benefit, we benefit. So how? Yajna basically means giving up our selfish and egoistic conceptions for worship and pleasure of Krishna. Unless we have God in our lives, where will we direct our energy, our love, our effort to? So there are only two types of people in this world. One, who are in a bodily consciousness, who for them knowledge is about how to live a comfortable life. And there are others who understand that they are not the body or the mind. They are the soul within. And their goal is to see how to connect the soul to the super soul. That is what is called yoga. So giving up our selfish pursuits for the service and worship and connection to Supreme, that is called Yajna. So every ahuti that we offer, every seva that we do, is an attempt for us to connect back to Krishna. That is required. So the form of the sacrifice may vary. It can take the form of Yajna. In Kali Yuga, what is the form of sacrifice? Yajnai Sankirtan Prayer. Yajantihi Sumedasa. So, chanting is a sacrifice. Krishna doesn't need it. We should see it as a means for us to offer our intention, our attention, and our love to Krishna. So, Lord appeared when these Brahmanas were performing this sacrifice and chanting mantras. So, did Lord appear impressed by their mantras? Amazing pronunciation. What memory you have. So charismatic, Brahmana, so effulgent. Your color of your clothes is so dazzling. That doesn't impress Krishna. Krishna is himself the form of all Vedas. Vedesya sarvair aham eva vaidyo. Krishna is Vedas, and whatever Vedas are coming from the mouth of Krishna. So chanting of mantras cannot impress Krishna. So why did the Lord appear to these Brahmanas who were chanting on behalf of King Nabhi? Because of their sincerity and devotion. Because they had devotion. So here Prabhupada gives the example of that when there is a huge feast, Srila Rupa Goswami says that when a chapan bhog is arranged, but if you don't have appetite, then what is the use? Similarly, all this yajna ceremony is elaborately arranged, but if bhakti is not there, what is the use? Krishna doesn't need it. Krishna wants bhakti. And even that is not for him. We will see how it is for our benefit only. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he was installing deities in Krishna Balaram temple, he had invited so many brahmanas and local priests and mahants. But Prabhupada said, actually, the real invitation to Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyam Sundar is by the chanting of the devotees who are in the back. So don't consider this as the real installation ceremony. Real installation ceremony is Harinam, coming from the heart of devotees. That is what this shloka says. When you are offered prayers in a faltering voice, what does faltering voice mean? There has to be bhava. There has to be bhakti. In that, even tulsi leaf or even a palm full of water that is offered is enough to attract the Lord. Best example of this is Advaita Acharya. Just by offering tulsi and Ganga water, he attracted Lord Chaitanya to come. And we are blessed because of that today. So basically, genuineness of our intent to serve is what attracts Krishna. So once the Brahmanas saw Krishna when he appeared in the sacrificial arena, they were very ashamed. They said, oh Krishna, we were doing this with a material motivation, but after having your darshan, we are feeling ashamed, we are feeling embarrassed that we called out to you for a material motive. Does it remind you of another very similar example? Dhruv Maharaj. So he had a real attraction for some kingdom. He wanted a kingdom greater than Brahmaji, who was his great grandfather. But after having the darshan of the Lord, what was his mood? Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya says, I was asking for broken pieces of glass. And what I have got is a diamond. So when a devotee experiences the love of Krishna, experiences the mercy of Krishna, the devotee is thoroughly embarrassed for having any material desires at the first place. So this is purification. So one thing we can learn from Dhruva Maharaj's example is determination. Dhrida Prita. Bhakti has to be intense. All the benefits of bhakti that are described in scriptures are conditional to Tivra Bhakti, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Dhrida Vrita. We cannot be wishy-washy and lukewarm and expect Krishna to shower his mercy. Krishna is merciful, he can do that, but the acharyas say that our bhakti has to be intense, kevala. So, Dhruv Maharaj as a 5-year-old boy was not scared of going to the forest. His mother said, go to forest, you will find Vishnu, ask him for kingdom. So simple. He said, okay, I'm going, bye-bye. So what is that? Of course, it at his age, but still he could say, I am born in a royal family. I've always been living in palaces. What about my conditionings? So many times our conditionings become an obstacle for our intensity. We feel, ye mere se nahi hoga. This is not for me. This is too difficult. This is too intense. But the root cause of all of those excuses is that because we are not having determination. So, in a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was explaining very strongly, what does it mean to really follow Bhagavad Gita? I cannot say this because this is too huge, but I can quote him. He's saying, a real follower of Bhagavad Gita is not somebody who is sitting at home and saying work is worship. You know, or somebody who is living a life like everyone else in society and now and then they chant a few verses, give a little donation. That is not a follower of Bhagavad Gita. Real follower of Bhagavad Gita is Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dhrida Vrita. Coming back to the same point, Dhrida Vrita. It requires strong determination. It'll endeavoring with great determination because distractions, difficulties, distresses are going to come to us inevitably from without and within. That is not in our control. But Dhrida Vrita, intensity of our devotion, will give us control over our consciousness, which is the only thing ultimately we have in our control. Not circumstances, but consciousness. And to have a pure consciousness, we have to be Dhrida Vrita in bhakti. So determination actually means what is the right thing to do and to actually do it. Not just stopping at knowing the right thing, because that is not very difficult. Most of the people know what is the right thing to do. So determination like Dhruva Maharaj, Maharaj says it is more difficult for somebody like Srila Prabhupada to demonstrate that determination. At the age of 70, to be determined to travel alone in an unknown land, that is more difficult than determination at 5 years old. So like Narad Muni gave so many philosophical, social excuses, logical excuses to Dhruva Maharaj, go back home. You are a child. Don't get, this is not good, you are getting angry. Similarly, Sumati Morarji gave so many excuses to Srila Prabhupada. Stay in Vrindavan. Preach to us. We'll create a community. Why do you want to go to America and die? So, but like Dhruva Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada felt, your advice may be good, but it does not sit in my heart. So it comes from a place of strong determination. In general, ritualistic society, we see people tell us, especially when we are taking to Krishna consciousness in our new stage, why are you doing so much bhakti? Just be normal. Go to temple sometimes, go to Janmashtami, give a little donation. Don't do so much bhakti. But in reality, there is nothing like so much bhakti. We always fall short in reciprocation to Krishna's love and mercy. We cannot ever do so much bhakti. And when somebody endeavors with determination, Dridhavrata, what happens? Like Dhruva Maharaj, for Dhruva Maharaj, the object of his meditation became the object of his vision. The Lord appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj. Same is happening in the case of these Brahmins. Lord is appearing personally in the fire sacrifice. So, once we have a higher taste, Param Drishtva Nivartate, as soon as we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reveals Himself. So, our chanting, our sacrifice, our determination in bhakti is to attract Krishna's revelation. So, once we surrender, Krishna reveals Himself, and that nourishes us, that purifies us. That cannot be done by our own personal endeavor. The goal of a yogi or a jnani is to overcome maya through their endeavor. They can come to a point of detaching themselves from matter, but they'll get stuck there. Unless we develop attachment to the divine, there is no elevation or progress in our spiritual life. So, vimukta manina, they might consider themselves liberated, but unless you have faith in Krishna and love for His lotus feet, that position is not tenable. That position is not sustainable. We will slip back into maya. So, when the Lord appeared in front of the Brahmanas, first of all, they were embarrassed, they were ashamed, they were praying. They said, "You are the storehouse of all opulences. You are Bhagwan, having all opulence of wealth, beauty, fame, renunciation." So, we see in Bhagavad Gita, Yadyad Vibhuti Matsattvam. Whatever splendorous or beautiful thing that we see is just an insignificant trace of Krishna's opulence. So, if this perverted reflection of Krishna's energy is infatuating us so much, is maddening us, this insignificant manifestation of Krishna's energy, then can we imagine how much more attractive the all attractive would be? So the problem is we have not had that experience, therefore we lack conviction. So with faith, as we practice with intensity, Krishna reveals and gives that taste from time to time. So it starts with faith, but it doesn't have to continue in faith. Next, after liberation, you will experience heaven. No, you will also experience the taste and the power of bhakti now. It is an experience. Which is that verse which says, bhakti paresha anubhav. It is not shraddha. It starts with shraddha, but it becomes anubhav. Parash, paresh, para isha, the metaphysical, the divine, the experience of the divine, that is bhakti. So bhakti is a promise of a loving relationship with God. So that we experience from time to time as we perform intense bhakti. And from that, faith converts into actual experience. And that is what nourishes us, purifies us. As after seeing the Lord, the Brahmins are convinced that they were wrong to worship with a material motive. So, just like Lord is unceasing and endless in His opulence, similarly, our bhakti to Lord and our love to Lord should also be unceasing and endless. So, how do we practice intense bhakti? From seeing, starting by understanding Bhagavad Gita, where we are recommended to perform yajna, do everything as an offering to Krishna. That concept matures when Lord says in the 5th chapter, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Not just do everything for sacrifice in an impersonal universe, offer it to me. I am God. So there, we have to have a personal conception of God, because Krishna says, I am the Bhokta, I am the Ishvara. But he is not a dictator. He also says, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He is a loving parent. That makes it so beautiful that we are offering our yajna, our sacrifices to a loving parent. That makes us feel so secure, so nourished. That is our relationship with Krishna. Not where we have to just live a life of pain and austerity, sacrificing. It becomes relishable, it becomes lovable when we direct it towards a loving God. So we have to live by these principles. It is not just by speaking nice shlokas or presenting this philosophy. We have to do that because this is Krishna's message. But more important than presenting is living it. So Prabhupada said, a mystic person, mystic soul is not one who can perform mystic powers. People are so easily impressed by mysticism. Somebody can read your mind, somebody can create magical things. Prabhupada said, even demons can create magic. So it's not a big deal. Even demons whose senses are uncontrolled, they can do this mystic siddhis. What is the real symptom then, if it is not mystic powers? What is the real indicator of true bhakti? Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what impresses Mahaprabhu really? Mahaprabhu ra bhakta gana vairagya pradhan. Vairagya is the test. Vairagya not by form or ashram, vairagya by spirit. What is this detachment that impresses Lord Chaitanya? So detachment cannot happen unless you are experiencing higher taste. So if somebody is detached, we can understand that they are sincerely practicing bhakti and they are really advanced. So we are not talking of the jnani type of detachment. Sitting in one place, denying this reality, denying variety, denying emotions. That is not our path. It makes one hard-hearted, stone-cold. That doesn't lead to spiritual emotions. That might lead to a semblance of liberation, but even that is not sustainable. Highest form of detachment is when we don't act for our selfish interest. We offer our body, mind and soul energetically, enthusiastically in the service of the Lord. Pranir arthir diya vacha. Detachment means this is not for me, this is not mine, but I am enthusiastic to offer it to the Lord. That is the spirit of detachment. So there are different modes of material nature, mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness. Maharaj calls bhakti as the mode of love. I found it so amazing. Because bhakti is transcendental, it is beyond the gunas. So the way to understand bhakti is it is a mode of love. And then it becomes easy to understand. So if you love someone, like if a parent loves their children, the parent will go out of their way to learn to say, for example, how to make delicious food for the children. They will become an expert. So siddhi, born out of love, is stronger. Somebody becomes an expert cook out of love for their children. That is more sustainable than somebody becoming a great cook for earning money or for becoming popular. The question is it out of love? That is the mode of love. Then it is transcendental. If it is anything else, then it is in the scope of the gunas. So our service to Krishna should be without a sense of prestige, honor, or gross enjoyment. When we are clearly not pursuing our self-interest, when we are clearly enthusiastic to serve Krishna, that is detachment. That is what Lord Chaitanya likes. Mahaprabhura bhakta gana vairagya pradhan. So these Brahmins were feeling ashamed because they were approaching the Lord with a material motive. After having the darshan of the Lord, just like Dhruv Maharaj also, after being touched by the conch of Lord Vishnu, what did both of them say? Now we want only your service. Now we don't want anything else. But in Dhruv Maharaj's case, Lord said, Because you asked for a material desire and I have to be known as fulfilling desires, so I'll fulfill that also. And after you rule this kingdom greater than Brahmaji for thousands of years, then you will come to me. So Lord actually doesn't want anything. This is the last part of these the purport we are discussing today. Krishna doesn't need our offering. Krishna doesn't need the yajna, the grains, the ghee, even our chanting. Krishna has everything. Bhagavad Brahma Samhita says, Surabhi Abhipalayantam. There is Radharani next to Krishna. What does he need? He needs our devotion. The source of all devotion is eternally next to Sri Krishna. So why would he be pleased by a Brahmana's offering or Dhruv Maharaj's intense devotion? Because he wants our benefit. That is compassion. So we should understand that when Lord reveals himself to us in reciprocation to our devotion, it is for our benefit. So when Srila Prabhupada, we are reading this beautiful book by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, I'll build you a temple. So Prabhupada here gives the example of building gorgeous temples. Does Krishna need it? Krishna has Dwaraka, Vaikuntha. He doesn't need a gorgeous marble temple. But a devotee desires, like Srila Prabhupada desired, let there be a temple, let there be seva. Because when the Lord reveals himself in that temple in such a wonderful way, it will inspire everyone to serve him. And through that, they will be purified. That is the intention of a pure devotee. That is the intention of Krishna. When we understand that Krishna doesn't need anything that I'm doing, then we will become humble. I made so many devotees. I created so many temples. Krishna doesn't want anything. That will immediately make us humble. Oh, it is for my own benefit. So, pride is the problem in our endeavor to serve. Because as soon as we have pride, it goes against the intention of Krishna wanting to purify us. And as we know, pride cometh before a fall. So, it might look stable and steady and happy for a while, but as soon as the waves come, it'll crash in a few seconds. That is how it happens. So our role models in Bhagavatam, if you will see, Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, they were simply tolerating and they were simply intense in their determination. They had no resentment about the circumstances, no negativity when somebody did injustice to them. So it is one's consciousness that we have our own full control over, and that is what we have to learn. We cannot definitely remember Krishna without His grace. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So unless Krishna inspires us, we cannot even remember Him. Imagine. Everything, step by step, is provided by Krishna, is inspired by Krishna. So Lord is self-sufficient, but the most beautiful quality of the Lord is His bhakta vatsalata. He is affectionate towards His devotees. Insignificant jiva like us chanting is because Krishna wants us to be happy. Krishna wants us to experience nectar. So Krishna's mercy is very powerful. It might appear that, you know, we are chanting, but there is an earthquake happening at the bottom of the ocean when we sincerely practice bhakti. And very soon that will wash the shore of our heart of all impurities. Shrinvatam Sukatha Krishna. So we should be convinced that by the practice of bhakti, Krishna's mercy is showering upon us, and that will purify us of all contaminations. Otherwise, why would Krishna need to come down into this world, into an audience of people who have been offending him again and again? It is out of mercy, it is out of compassion. So when we chant sincerely, it pleases Krishna. But what really pleases Krishna? Krishna is pleased by our sincerity because he understands that if we, the sadhaka, has sincerity, we have found the key. Sincerity is the key through which we can access Krishna's complete mercy. Because Krishna sees now that he is doing it, he or she is doing it intensely, sincerely. Now they have discovered the key to unlock my mercy, and now I am going to flood my devotee with my mercy. And then they will have complete taste. So that is what pleases Krishna, that my devotee has found the key to accessing my mercy. Otherwise Krishna doesn't need anything. So the principle of love is always selfless. When Krishna loves us, it is selfless. When a devotee loves Krishna, that is also selfless. There is no gain. And the best example of this are the Braja gopis. So they had such selfless love for Krishna that they didn't consider the danger of going to the forest at the dead of the night upon hearing the flute of Krishna. They didn't fear social rejection, ridicule. They didn't think that people will call them for giving up their responsibilities, their home, their families. That is sacrifice. That is yajna. And when that is purely directed towards Krishna, that becomes prema. So gopis are our role models. No? And what did the Lord tell the gopis? That what you have done for me, I cannot repay you. Lord of the universe is saying this. So what he says, I give myself to you. That is only thing I have. So Krishna doesn't need anything from us. He just wants the expression of our genuine love and surrender. He wants us to be happy. So one primary and one secondary characteristic of devotion we will discuss and we'll conclude. The primary characteristic of devotion as presented by Srila Rupa Goswami is, what does it come? Anyabilashitam shunya jnana karmadi anavrita alukulena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttama. So what is the primary characteristic in this, which is tied back to this discussion today? That Lord doesn't want anything. He has everything. He wants. He's happy. He's pleased by seeing our sincerity and gives us mercy so that we can be happy. That is Lord's pleasure, in our pleasure. So what is the primary characteristic of devotion in this definition of pure bhakti by Rupa Goswami? What is the Swarupa Lakshan? We have to offer it selflessly towards Krishna. It has to be free of our ego. And what is the Tatastha Lakshan? Anya Bilashita Shunya. It should be selfless. It should not be motivated. So, whatever we discussed, Lord not needing anything, we being Dridavita can please the Lord, impress the Lord, attract His mercy. So, is this easy? So, we spoke how it performing bhakti intensely can attract Krishna's attention, and all Krishna wants is to bless us and make us happy forever. So, bhakti is simple, but it is not easy. Why is it not easy? Because in practicing bhakti, we have to overcome all the challenges that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita throughout the chapters. We have to do our duty in a detached way, without desire for enjoyment, without doership. So for a jnani, it becomes overwhelming. I don't have to do anything for my benefit. I don't have to think that I am the doer. But when we take the perspective of bhakti, all of this becomes a byproduct. Once you are in love, there is no austerity. It is only a burden of love. Madhavendra Puri sets the gold standard of devotional service. Pragada premere ei swabhav achar nija dukha vignadi na kare vichar. What is the symptom of condensed love for Krishna? That one doesn't care for personal inconveniences and distresses. That is the symptom of somebody who is madly in love. For their beloved, they will sacrifice happily, like a parent for children. Then it is very easy to do nishkama karma, devoid of doership. Mental sense control, everything follows. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana. As soon as we become a devotee of Krishna, all of this becomes natural. The good qualities arrive in that devotee. But if somebody is not a devotee and they are trying to rise to the mode of goodness, it's not sustainable because it's still at the mental platform. So, the sattvic jnan, the sattvic tyag that is offered in the chapters, some chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, that is the path for a jnani. For a devotee, it is simply bhakti. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. So bhakti is independent. Bhakti doesn't require us to be purified before we receive bhakti, as is the case with jnana. To become purified for self-realization, to reach the platform of jnana, one needs to be pure. And for that, one has to perform nishkama karma yoga. But bhakti is independent, bhakti is supreme, bhakti is powerful. Bhakti doesn't require any pre-qualifications. So bhakti can purify us rather than requiring purification. So ultimately we should understand. But then one thing remains. We know that if we selflessly offer anything to Krishna, actually we are benefiting. As Rupa Goswami says, if we decorate the body, automatically the reflection in the mirror will also be decorated. We don't need to separately endeavor. But do you think performing bhakti with the knowledge, with the disposition that performing bhakti is going to help me only? Is it a right attitude that I'm doing it selflessly, but ultimately because Krishna is merciful, I am going to gain? That is not a good disposition. We have to do it only for Krishna's pleasure. Not even thinking that this is ultimately going to bring me happiness. We should think whether it brings me happiness or inconveniences, I am going to continue to serve Krishna. What is the last verse of Shikshastakam? Ashlishyavat padratam pinashtumam. This is the highest stage of devotion. When somebody is mad in love with Krishna, they say, I don't care what happens to me. I'll continue to serve you life after life after life. So that is the highest standard of devotion demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya in the mood of the gopis. And that is the highest sacrifice. So we see, we started from yajna. We saw that Krishna is the bhokta. Then we saw how it becomes devotion when it is offered in bhakti. Bhokta ram yajna tapasam, patram pushpam phalam toyam. And ultimately we saw how it all culminates in pure devotion. It should be in Krishna nushilanam. Idam Krishnaya idam namama. So in this is yajna, and in that same sentence is also bhakti. So this is the theme of today's discussion. If there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Serving with so much love,
right?
Like, today we don't have so much love for God, so we can only serve Him in whatever way we can serve Him.
Correct.
Today we feel that okay, if we'll serve the Lord, then we'll get the pleasure here only. In material life, there's no pleasure, so that is also there. So, but we are not like very lovingly serving, like we don't have such love for the Lord. So,
how do we know we don't have love for the Lord?
As in,
the more devotional we become, the greater the feeling that I really don't have love for God comes. So, till the time we reach the Uttamadhikari, this feeling is going to stay.
Yeah.
From our Kanishta level, there is actually no love, but the feeling is always going to stay. Because more somebody is in love, they feel that I have not been able to love Krishna enough. So, we have to start by performing the limbs of bhakti. So, if you see here, very interestingly, Prabhupada writes that the priests were performing the yajnas superficially. So, we should know in our life what is our primary activity and what is our secondary activity. So, when we know that the direct limbs of bhakti and doing everything in devotion, we discussed yajna. Yajna means everything that we are doing, if we direct it towards Krishna, that is bhakti. So we should start by practicing the direct limbs of bhakti. And once Krishna, as we surrender and demonstrate our sincerity, our determination, Krishna reveals, Krishna gives us that experience, and from that love is born. So how? Why are the priests embarrassed? Why is Dhruva Maharaj embarrassed? Because they didn't start with love. But that's okay. The process of bhakti will evoke the love which is dormant within us. So we just have to be sincere in practicing the limbs of bhakti, and the answer is within. Does that answer? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai.